Henry Shulman of the San Francisco Chronicle.
Let me ask you this, Adam.
Go ahead.
How would you describe the patio and how it comes alive to people who've never been out here? I started 2010, way back when, and we've gone through a number of people out here, but this is your second full year.
Right.
What's it like?
It's different. I'd imagine the patio in 2010, 2011, and 12, and 13, 14 was popping and crazy like this every weekend, but you can tell now it's like a holiday weekend on the patio as far as a send-off. It's like, Henry, you remember at the end of school, like your last day of school, it wasn't really school. You'd have like the field day, and then you'd have the class party, and then everybody would just go home?
I wouldn't know. I ditched the last day of last week of school.
Okay, this is how that feels. Where we got kind of a class party going right now.
Marty's running for office.
Marty's doing his own show outside of the show right now.
Really? And, we love it. Because this is what Weekends in the Park is all about. It's the family. It's coming to baseball. It's feeling good. And look, this is a team that was 77 and 83, whatever. I don't know. Is that their record now?
77 wins. I know.
Yeah, and still, you come to the ballpark with optimism and excitement. And look what's going on around the ballpark. Henry, how do you explain it?
Well, people still like baseball. And we're getting down toward the end here. And, it's funny. We tend to get a little too caught up in what people are saying on social media, but the people on social media are really more of the cranks. And they're not wrong all the time.
They used to call fans cranks. You know that?
No, I did not know that. I'm sorry. Not in my era.
In the late 1880s, 1900s, the fans were called cranks.
Oh, I'm a boomer, so I wouldn't know about that. But no, I mean, we tend to, and they're not wrong about some of the things they complain about, but we tend to overplay what they're saying and think that that's what the majority feels, and it really is. And people still want to come to the ballpark. You know, they still want to watch the team win. I mean, it still feels good to watch your team win, even if it's going to be the 78th win in another losing season. And it's still fun to come to the ballpark. And if you're a fan, you just want the team to go out there and put on a good show. And last night, it's tough, you know. I mean, everybody's riled up for Friday night. You got the Dodger fans there, all screaming, making all this loud noise, and the game was pretty much over in the second inning.
Yeah.
So, that's rough. You just hope for a competitive game.
What do you think about tomorrow's game? We find out Madison Bumgarner's not going to throw. Personally, and I wasn't making jokes earlier, I just said I'm bummed about it. As a fan, I'm not thrilled, and I'm just kind of like, what gives, man? What do you make of that?
Well, he's going into free agency, and this guy's had some bad luck. I mean, some of it was his own doing. I mean, he fell off a dirt bike. It cost him, several months. Last year, in the last day of spring training, he gets a line drive off his hand. He's thrown 207 innings so far. I mean, the last thing you want to do is go out there and get a freak injury right when you're about to go out there for free agency. And I see this more as the club protecting him more than him wanting to protect himself. The last game of the year is usually a day like this. Derek Rodriguez is going to start. You'll probably see seven pitchers. If it goes into extra inning, you'll see all 42 pitchers.
Oh, that's a typical game.
Yeah, exactly. Bumgarner, I'm sure, will be recognized tomorrow. It's not going to go unnoticed. And I'm still not 100% convinced he won't go out there and pitch the ninth inning.
You think he might throw the ninth inning tomorrow?
He told me he's not, but then Bochy says, "Well, he's going to have his spikes on." So I'm getting mixed signals on that.
That might add to the legend if he does not take the start, but then he gets the final out of a Bruce Bochy last managed game. That could be pretty cool.
What about pinch hitting?
Yeah, they say he's not going to do that, but I mean something screwy is going to happen.
If we're protecting from injury, can you send him up to pinch hit?
Why not?
More of a risk?
Oblique? I mean, what could really
who knows?
Happen
who knows?
Unless you hit him?
You could concuss him. You could
anything could happen.
You could kneecap him like Yelich. You never know.
You could do a curb thing. Oh, I don't
goodness.
Know. Yeah.
All right. That's the world today. What about Lincecum? The fans are pining for Lincecum.
Yeah. It would be really cool if they did what they did for JT Snow and Ryan Vogelsong.
Yeah.
Which is to let them go out there in uniform just to take the field with the team and then retire as a Giant. But they're being very secretive about this and about whether he's even going to be here. I presume he will. Part of me thinks that would be great, and part of me wonders whether they would do that because it would take away from Bochy's day. It would make Lincecum the story. I know we're going to have somebody out here tomorrow on Lincecum Watch. I just don't know how Bruce feels about that, how the organization feels about that. But he should be here.
I was wondering about that. If Lincecum even just being here, does that upstage Bochy's his final day? I'd imagine he would want to see him and he'd want him to be here. But I don't know that they would do the JT Snow thing that you're talking about.
Well, that would be a great thing to do. Maybe not tomorrow, but right. It would be a great thing to do.
Even the Brian Wilson way they did it on the opening day where he came out, he threw out the first pitch, though we were all kind of confused as to whether or not it was actually Brian Wilson, I think, for a while when he did that last year.
Well, if it was a ball, then it was Brian Wilson. Yeah.
What do you think tomorrow's ceremony is going to look like?
Well, I mean, I think there's going to be some speechifying, I think that some people who were closest to Bruce are going to speak. I would imagine Bumgarner is going to speak, although he's not much of a public speaker. I think he's going to get a tremendous gift, hopefully not booze, because he's got enough of that. I don't know. To me, this is just a guess, but, you know, maybe a 30-foot fishing boat, because he loves to go out in the ocean and fish. That's what I'd give him. Or maybe a big case to hold all the booze that he got as gifts as he went around the league this year.
You know, it's funny. When I talked to him about this earlier in the year, I don't know if you remember it, I said to him, you know, you're going to get a tour. You're going to get the farewell tour. And he goes, no, I'm not doing that. And it sure happened for him. And it happened big time for him, like a Bobby Cox.
Yeah, all except the Washington Nationals, who didn't acknowledge him at all. You know, I mean, even the teams we went to in Interleague at least put something on the video board. And, you know, there are these rumors he's going to come back and manage the Padres next year. I don't think that's going to happen. But I was joking when we were in Atlanta about how he would just do another tour next year, but he'd do a ceremony in each city giving back the present. And that would actually be really funny.
Give back the chair in Boston. He'd have to, he'd have to give back tons of booze.
Henry,
put it on the boat.
Henry or Shulman. Replacement.
Yeah. Henry Shulman with us from the Chronicle. You can follow him on Twitter, at Hank Shulman, and he loves when you tweet at him. He loves that. he's laughing. Who's going to manage this team?
Oh, you know what? I get that question all the time.
Names are very difficult, but what type of person do you think Farhan goes for?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is that he's going to go for somebody who isn't necessarily an experienced manager, but somebody who, you know, he has the personality to handle a clubhouse, somebody who is willing to, you know, recognize that he's going to be a partner with the front office in deciding who's going to play and who's going to play where and who's going to pitch and how many innings. Maybe somebody with an analytic bent, not possibly, somebody who has an analytic bent. And, you know, Bochy got into the analytics. He wasn't a Luddite completely, but, you know, somebody more. I mean, and somebody who's willing to manage for not a lot of money, because that's just the way of the world now.
Yeah, there are names that have been thrown out. I know everybody wants to look at the Dodgers and who's on the field for them. Chris Woodward was their third base coach. He got hired in Texas. Bob Guerin, the bench coach, a name that's been floated around. I think Raul Labañez is an assistant out there, but who knows? And I wonder about a general manager first, Henry.
Yeah, I think that they're probably going to hire a general manager first, but, I mean, ultimately, I think, the managing is, it's going to be Farhan's call.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might take a while because, I mean, Larry Bear told me on the podcast that I did with him last week, which you can actually see on sfchronicle.com. You know, he hinted that there might be guys out there who are in the postseason, and if the postseason goes a long way, you know, it could delay the hiring of a manager, just like it delayed the hiring of a president of baseball operations this year.
Does Will Smith get a qualifying offer?
Boy, you know, that would be awfully tough. I could imagine if they really were worried about how they would finish games next year, they might. But $18 million is a lot of money to give a reliever in this day and age. I find that a little hard to believe. I'd be surprised by that.
I agree. I think if you were in a situation like the Dodgers and you had him as your closer and maybe you anticipated getting back to the World Series, you didn't want to let him go, I could see it then for one more shot at the window. I don't know about a non-competitive season next year.
Yeah, I mean, they could always use that as a, you know, a cudgel to maybe get him to agree to a two-year deal with less average per year.
How about Bumgarner? They offer him the
no question.
Offer?
No question.
Yeah.
Boy, great to have Hank Shulman with us, Henry Shulman of the Chronicle. Always good opinions. Henry, if you had a favorite storyline or the most important storyline of 2019, what would it be for you?
Well, to me, it's Mike Yastrzemski. Because you'll hear Farhan, he used 64 players this year. It's a club record. I think it may be the National League record. if I remember correctly.
Seattle's the only one.
A lot of this was trial and error. A lot of this was taking a bunch of guys who sort of fit the analytical profile that Farhan Zaidi and his people have developed, and throwing them out in sort of an experiment to see what they could do. And these are all, usually his guys are ones who have a pretty good feel for the strike zone. But you can have a good feel for the strike zone, like, say, Mike Gerber does. But you still have to go out there and, you know, do something when you get the hitter's counts. And here's a guy, Yastrzemski, who, I mean, the Orioles stuck in their minor league system for six years, wouldn't even put him on the major league roster ever. A team that, you know, is losing 100 games for the, I don't know how many straight years in a row.
At least two now, maybe
and then,
three.
And then he comes here and he spends a little bit of time working with Dave Brundage and Damon Minor in Sacramento. They did a little bit of tweaking I was talking to Damon Minor about this yesterday, a little bit of tweaking just to make sure his swing was on time. And then he comes up here and he establishes himself as a guy who should be in the opening day outfield next year. And that's what this year was about, was trying to figure out if they could find some guys who may not be big-time free agents, may not require a lot in trade, that they can happily put out there in the 2020 season. And Yastrzemski is just one. I mean, Logan Webb will be another. Dickerson, if he can stay healthy.
But is Jalen Davis one? Is
he no, I mean, he's no. He's going to have to compete for a job.
Boy, great having you on, Henry. Thank you for coming on all year long. It's a pleasure, and looking forward to following you over the winter.
Okay, I'll be around.
All right, that is the great Hank Schulman of the Chronicle. All right.